whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord God raise unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the people, all the prophets from Samuel to those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That is the gospel, and the promise of the gospel. Notice, he's preaching the gospel, and the resurrection of our bodies, and of that sort of thing, isn't even the focus. Because while we are yet living, we can't do anything about the resurrection to come, which we want to attain. We just covered Philippians. We want to attain to that resurrection. But there's a resurrection that happens now, even. You know, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as Paul had said in Romans, that we are buried with him in baptism, made conformable to his death, that we might be raised in newness of life. Okay, but the newness of life that we are raised in is that he should turn us away from iniquity. That he would blot out our past sins, as Paul teaches in Romans, that he came for the remission of sins that are past. And that he would cause us that we would not sin anymore. And, you know, not to say that that is not something that isn't a process, and that many of us still have to hope for it. But still, that is the goal, that is the aim, that is the promise, that is our hope. Back to Colossians. And the reason I want to say is because this is what God's grace is doing. This is what the grace of God in truth is for. I want to labor the point. Because it's drifted so far away in our modern times, and the gospels that are preached out there are so, they're so wrong. So wrong. It's so perverse. And and they receive it by tradition from their fathers. They go to school. This is what they're taught. It's the modern orthodoxy in America, and I hate it. Because it's so wrong from what was taught by the apostles. They miss so many important aspects of what we're supposed to believe in. They miss it all. As ye have learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So, you know, Epaphras was obviously someone who had really given them a real insight on the gospel. And he who also reported back to Paul about their love and the Spirit, etc. All right, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hold. We'll hold there. Wow. You know, as if I couldn't have asked for a better amen from Paul as to what the gospel is in truth. And here's the problem. I don't know how, as I'm teaching these, but I don't know how these guys go out and preach the gospel they preach. Because, you know, they preach one verse here, one verse there. And then they gloss over these words, which have, they mean something. You know, when I was in school, I had a gift for reading. And sometimes I'm astounded at the bad reading that goes on by people, okay? I'm a bit of a stickler for it. I like to be very precise about things. These words all mean something. You know, he's saying, I pray for you, whether you could be filled with the knowledge of his will. We have to be filled with knowledge of what God's will is. Specific, you know, here's the thing. It's like, it's not just any old knowledge. You know, there's all kinds of peddlers of biblical knowledge out there. They want to teach you all kinds of things. A lot of things which don't profit. They're going to teach you about, you know, I think of the old teachers I used to have, and I've mostly stayed away from that junk as far as in these teachings. But, you know, they want to teach you about, secret doctrines of things that they say happened in the, you know, in dark corners. And they're going to draw out of verses perverse meanings, twisting the scriptures. And then those who have itching ears, oh, they love to hear it because they want to hear secret doctrines. When the doctrines that are plainly taught are not good enough for them. Or I don't know what it is. Like what, this is too boring? What is the will of God? Let me fill you with the knowledge of the will of God. Is this, you know, the thing is, people, what's God's will? I don't know what God's will. This is the knowledge of the will of God. I'm going to fill you with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So take hold of your seats and come along. Well, here's the will of God, all right? This is the context of the sentence. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, to all pleasing. You have to be all pleasing to God. All pleasing. You are going to walk worthy of Him. Not unworthy, worthy. In a worthy way. You know what worthy means? Means you deserve it. Now the thing is, there's nothing we could do preemptively to deserve the grace of God. You know what I mean? I mean, we can't earn it or make God be gracious towards us or make God love us. There's nothing we can do on our behalf in that. But the point is, when the grace of God comes, this is the gospel that He would make you so that you were worthy of it. Because He's going to purge your sins by the precious blood of Christ, which was spilled. What do you think He spilled it for anyways? He spilled it that our sins could be forgiven. And then that we might be made by God to walk worthy of